So what I have in my heart tonight is a title I want to say is, it's called Worthy of Trust. Worthy of Trust. Is our God worthy of trust? Can we trust Him in those dark times of life, those many things that come into our lives that can threaten to put us down, those hard things that come upon us that are unexpected? And I want to read about three different individuals in the scriptures that have experienced this and have come out on the other end, and just to use them as examples for us, to use them as examples, the Old Testament scriptures, to show that we can have hope. We can have hope in God. And that's been on my heart the last few days. And can you turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 8? Romans and chapter 8. We'll read one verse there, and we'll read another verse in the Old Testament. Romans 8 and verse 28. Romans 8 and verse 20. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." We know that all things, everything of our lives, you know, those different ingredients of our lives. You can think of a cake. You can think of different a pie or anything that is made. The different ingredients by themselves, they're not very, very tasty, you know. But if you put them all together, the end of it all is beautiful. And I know in the context here, it speaks of our conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate goal that God has, is to conform us like His precious Son. He has made many, that He might bring many to heaven, many sons like Him to heaven. He has one unique Son, and He wants to fill heaven with many of them. And God finds such delight to look down on this earth and see little ones, His own children, being more conformed to His own precious Son. And I believe that's why God brings these trials, these different all things in this context here. All these, and in Romans 8, the latter part of Romans 8, it speaks of a lot of hard things, death and life, talks about persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, distress, all these things, it says. So you can see in the context of Romans 8, the latter part of Romans 8, there's all these negative things in life. But ultimately, they're all going to work together for good to those who call God, those who are called according to His purpose. So God has a purpose for our lives. And each one of us are individually created to have a purpose that God has given us to glorify Him. And He's bringing difficult things into the lives of His people sometimes to work out His purposes. So all things, and remember that verse. Can you turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs and chapter 3. And I'll try and move on fairly quickly here. These are two verses that I want to use as my baseline for what I'm going to speak. Proverbs chapter 3, and we will read at verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." And so the men that we're going to read about, they were men that found themselves in such difficult straits. And it wasn't just like a one-time off thing. It was a long period of time for many of them, the things that came into their lives. And this principle had to be something that they would be grounded in, trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Not just some of your heart, trust the Lord with some of your heart and lean on your own understanding. That's often what we do. We trust in the Lord with some of our heart and then we lean on our own understanding. But that's not what the verse says here. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." I know for many times in my life that has been the case. I've leaned on my own understanding. At times I do not understand what is happening. It is beyond understanding. And yet, we can trust Him. His word says that we can trust Him. So you can see sometimes we can find ourselves in, as Peter says there in the epistle, it says, "Though now for a season you are in heaviness, through manifold temptations, various trials, many trials. It says that the trial of your faith, again, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that be found with the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's this time in our lives when God seems to take us up. And he's going to say, okay, now you're going to put into the cauldron. And I'm going to heap upon you this trial, this fiery trial. And it's not going to be pleasant. It'll be awful. But it's a trial of our faith. It's more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. And we know sometimes in those when we trust in him, we might feel, I'll be made to blush. I'll be blushing for trusting in the Lord. Other people can just go ahead and do things and get out of their trial and do whatever. But because I fear the Lord, trusting the Lord, I'll be made to blush. It feels like sometimes, what if the Lord doesn't come through for me? What if he will not come through for me? Will it be worth it? That's what I call his title, Worthy of Trust. He says, and there's a verse in Romans 10 that has often been such an anchor to my soul, this verse. It says, for the scripture says, whosoever, any one of us, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. And that word there is means not ashamed. Not ashamed there means to be put to blush. You shall never, ever stand before God and you'll be put to blush for having trusted him. Because what happens when you trust in him, you put it into his hands and now God is going to work for you on your behalf. It becomes his problem now as you put it into his hands. Now God is at stake. You're trusting in him. And I love this. You're not taking matters into your own hands, which would be often an easy thing to do, but you've put it into his hands. And will you be put to blush for trusting in him? Will you? The scripture says, whoever believes in him, trusts in him, or waits on him, will never be put to shame. That's just the introduction I want to, before I read these verses. And we think of the Old Testament, the three characters I want to speak about. It's an encouragement from James. It says in Romans 15, verse 4, for whatsoever were written aforetime were written for our learning. For it's written for us. There's those Old Testament saints I'm going to speak about were written for us, for our learning. So it has bearing upon us. We are to learn from them. That we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. Because that's what we need. We need hope through this time. The trial, we need hope. We're just like without hope. And you know how desperate it is when you're without hope. We think there are the psalmists in the Old Testament. David in Psalm 42, it says there how... why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, great big God. He is in control of all things, for I shall yet praise him. I shall yet trust, I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. There's an end coming. I can be able to praise him. There's the other side of this trial. This too shall pass. And it's a precious thought. And you can see in each one of the three characters I want to speak about, that's what they experienced. There was another side. All things, the things that were so not pleasant in their lives by themselves, they were dreadful. They were despairing. But there was another side. There's an end intended by the Lord. And that's what I want to prove from those three characters. The big picture. Because often when you're in a trial, you want to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean on your understanding, because you don't understand. You're left, you don't see the big picture. All you see is just a little right now. That's all you see. But God has a big picture. All things are going to work together for good. And I know in this context, it speaks about right there, it speaks about conformity to Christ. But I want to just apply this. I don't want to take it out of context, but I just want to apply this principle to these three characters. So the first one is Joseph, and all three will start with J. All three will start with J, but the suffering of Joseph is the first one. And I'm just going to, you don't have to turn to them, I'm going to quote the verses. In Psalm 42, verse 21, it says there, you can see the anguish of Joseph. Often, you don't see it like in the reading, in the text often, but there are some specific verses that show that Joseph did suffer. Joseph did suffer. It says there in Psalm 42, the brothers, as they were saying to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, his distress has come upon us. So in Joseph's life, you can see that there was anguish. When he was in the pit there, cast into the pit, not knowing what's going to happen, there was anguish of soul, and there's distress. So you might be, today, that might be your lot. There might be anguish of soul and a distress. And it says, but even there it says, Joseph, you get the inkling of Joseph's heart there in prison. When he speaks to that one man that was the butler that was able to be released, he says to him, but remember me, remember me. Remember, it's a long trial for Joseph, year after year, for his innocence there. And from his perspective, he doesn't see the end. You have to see it from his perspective. Often we read Joseph, it's pleasurable to read because you know the end. It's like, I know it's coming. It's so good. Oh, they're going to get it, or this is going to happen for him. We can see it. But Joseph didn't see it. He had, from a child, when he was younger, he had these dreams that were potentially something that were, I mean, they were future, and they were going to happen, but he didn't have much more through those times. Of when he said, what about those dreams? Here I am in prison. They didn't come to anything. And so you could potentially be thinking that. But it says, and here in the prison, you can see his distress a little bit. You can see a little bit of his heart. He says, but remember me. He's asking this about, he says, when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, and make mention to Pharaoh of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. Get me out of here. So he did not want to be here. And he says, for indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing. I have done nothing here that I should be put into this dungeon. And you might be in this place where you are, I don't know why I'm here in this place. I've done nothing to be in this circumstance. But God has placed me in this place. And I don't know for how long. Joseph didn't know for how long he was going to be there. So was he able to trust in those times when he didn't see anything? There was nothing to see. Year after year went by. All he could see was darkness. Didn't see any glimmer in sight. Even 2 years after this butler, not again. Here I am again. He's forgotten me. He's forgotten about me. But God's time was going to come for Joseph. And you can think of there, even in Psalm 105, it says of God, he sent the man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt, so here you can see his pain as well. They hurt his feet with fetters, and he was laid in irons until the time of his work came to pass. The word of the Lord tried him. So Joseph was tried in prison. He was a trial of his faith. And God, but is God going to come true for him? Is he going to be ashamed? Is he going to blush for trusting in the Lord? Well, you get to read there further on in Genesis 41, you get the answer. Joseph himself, it says, he lived to see this day. It says, Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God. It's all about God. He sees a big God. He's realizing all these circumstances in his life. God was involved. God was in it. He says, for God has made me forget. He's made me forget all my toil in my father's house. So you can see that he was in toil in his father's house. He was in pain. You forgot. He went through a lot of pain, Joseph. But the second one, he says, for God, he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. It's the land of his affliction. So I just want to point out the sufferings of this man, and now the end intended of the Lord. All things work together for good. And there it says, and Joseph recognized this. He says, later on, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this day to save many people alive. So that was the end intended for the Lord, for Joseph, to save many people through this one man. There's a good end in mind for the Lord, for him. But there was a trial that he had to pass through. So I want to see this principle of trusting the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. We don't see it. Joseph did not see it when he was in prison. But there was an other side. And that's what I want to encourage you with. And another one I'm thinking about is Jacob, the next one. And we all love Jacob. He's such a lovely character. So many things it reminds me of us, of me, so much in his wrestlings and in his self-will at times. But Jacob here, he was an older man, Jacob, when he went through this trial. He was an older man. So Joseph was younger. He was like in his 20s, in his prime. But Jacob here, so this covers a spectrum. Jacob was an older man when this trial came to him. And we think of Jacob, he lost his beloved Joseph years before. He lost his beloved son, Joseph, and the anguish of heart that he passed through. This man was no stranger to deep trial. This man, Jacob, he was a man that went through many, many dark hours of anguish of heart. And he lost his beloved and prized son, Joseph. He also lost his beloved wife, Rachel, whom he loved so much. He's a man that lost many loved ones. And then here he is in this circumstance, he right here, right in the climax of where he sees all, woe is me, all is against me. He's trying to protect Benjamin. He's trying to protect Benjamin. And he says, but Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, lest some calamity befall him. And he took Simeon from them and bound him. And there he also lost Simeon. So he lost three of his Ben. He lost Joseph, he lost Rachel, and he lost Simeon. And you know what he says in this circumstance when he's right at this point? He says, all these things. That's what he saw in his circumstance. All of these things are against me. Everything is against me. He lost all his family, many of his close family. And he says, Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin. All these things. Again, think about all things. All these things are against him, but worthy against him. There's God in the picture. I'm so glad God is in the picture. He is the great God. He is the big God. He is in the picture. He says, so you can see this big caption, all these things are against me. And you see the next few verses. It says here, look what God had in mind. He says, and Israel said to Joseph years later, now let me die. He says, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought, here's this, I had not thought. He didn't think, this was not possible. I had not thought to see your face, but in fact God has shown me your offspring also. So that was God's end. You can see the big picture. God had a big picture. All these things, everything is against me. He says, but God, he has shown me your offspring also. I just love this end intended of the Lord. And the last one, so I'm just going over them quickly because it's giving a slight overview to prove this principle of we can take great comfort, the patience and comfort of Scripture. We're to take the Old Testament, the saints, as an example of suffering and of patience. And it says, in the end intended of the Lord. So here we can see Job specifically. Job is an excellent. And I know Brother Henry, he did so well on Job a few days ago. And this has been also my heart, Job as well, just as an example. And there's more. There's David and others. But I just want to stay with the three J's today and just give a little bit of an idea to encourage our hearts to see that trust in the Lord with all our heart and not to lean on our own understanding. And these people, all of these, they were tried sorely. And there was times, of course, and you can see Job in his awful circumstances, how he was in the midst of it. And he was, you can see, cursed the day that I was born. Cursed the day that I was born. And you can see his, in the thick of the trial that he was passing through, it was not easy for that dear man, what he passed through. And in James 5, it says, you have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And that's why it is so wonderful, because we have a compassionate and a merciful God. Thank God we have a God like this, whom we can lean our everything on. We don't have to lean our own understanding. We can lean on Him and trust in Him. Because Job, see, we have the Scriptures. We have the Word of God that shows the beginning and end of us of a man's life. Our lives are not written yet. Neither each one of these men, they didn't know the end. They were in it. That was their circumstance. That was where they found themselves. They didn't see the end. All he had was trusting the Lord. And you know what Job says? He says, He says, here he says to the Lord, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, I will go out believing. Even if he slays me, I will go out believing. And you can see that in Hebrews 11, you get a good picture of that. Some were gloriously delivered, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. You can see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they were, all three of them, they said, but if not, God can deliver us from this fiery furnace, but if not, we will go out believing, we will go out trusting, we will not bow. And so you can see here Job's life and all the things that he passed through. And I just want to literally touch on it because I know my time is gone, but it says there, Job, how the Lord, what he passed through. We know the story of Job, so I'm not really going to go into, but I will go into the afterwards. We know how the start of Job, how what he passed through, his family taken away, his health taken away, everything, his possessions taken away. And here he is left on a dung heap pile, and he is languishing away day after day, a poor man, what he's passing through. And God sees. And you know, Job, does God see? Does God care? You know, Job saying, he says, I wish even my words were inscribed in a rock and preserved. And you know what God has done? He's done much more than that. God zoned in on every word of Job, what he said, in the trial. God was zoned in. Even though Job was saying, I cannot perceive him. He's neither my left hand, my right hand. He's before me. He's not before me. Neither is he behind me. I can't perceive him. He's nowhere to be found. And but yet the Lord saw him, because the Lord even wrote those words that he said. So God is zoned in. He sees what's going on. He has his eyes on his, we're the apple of his eye, as it were, his children. He cares about us. And so he's zoned in when his people go through trials. And we can see there, the latter part of Job, and see the end intended by the Lord, because James talks about that. So Job, at the end of his life, it says, now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And so the Lord just gave him, and he gave him the most beautiful women in all the land. The Lord just throws it in there. He gives him the same amount of children back. And so you can see how God blessed the latter part of Job more than his beginning, the end intended by the Lord. But what was written of the 100, it says, and after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for four generations. So Job died old and full of days. So you can see 140 years. How many verses were written of the 140 years? I'm just trying to prove a point here. Just a few verses. 140 years. He did well and all this. But how much was written, brothers and sisters, about the trial that Job faced? The very words that he spoke. My point is, God is zoned in of when what we're feeling. And when he cares, his eye was on him. He did not take his eye off of Job. He was like the one that was in the refining fire. And God cared. God took out every, even the words that he spoke. So even in Revelation, you speak about how the Lord puts our tears in his bottle. All the tears, do you think they go unnoticed? They are in his bottle. So Joseph, Jacob, and you can see here at the end there how... is this the hymn we're not going to sing it, but I just want to go over it. And then it says, I love this hymn because it brings out the same truth. When you're in the midst of it, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We've seen from those three lives, from Joseph, from Jacob, and from Job, the trial in the midst of it and the end intended by the Lord, and how you could have potentially leaned on your own understanding in the middle of it. But God is great. And he is greatly to be trusted. And I've seen that in my life in different ways. I've seen this to be true. It's hard to believe in the middle of it. It's hard. It's easy to lean on our understanding. But I remember there's a script, the patient comfort scriptures. There's examples given to us in the Word where we can take hope. We can have hope. Yes, he's worthy of trust. Though he slay me, I will have trust in him, it says. And you will not be made to blush. You will never be made to blush. So here's this hymn, it says, God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable mines of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have the bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. William Cowper, back in 1774, just a precious verse. And we think of, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And think of Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, his how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So he is great, he is God, and he knows the end from the beginning. But I just to finish off, I guess I'll just close in prayer.